Okay, so we're on Mount Zion today, so I'll go back a little bit. Well, pick up from the top line on Zion Ibn Aleph. So we're talking about the aspect of Yadot. Just to review for everybody, Yadot is a partial statement, and we said by Nidarim, so there's a limud that the Gemara had on Daf Gimel, Ishkidur Neder Nazir Lahazir Lahashem. So the Gemara learned it from the double Lashon, Nazir Lahazir, that the redundancy refers to yadot, that even if a person makes a partial statement, he can become a nazir. And then from there we learn from Nedarim. And then yesterday we discussed other areas in halacha where yadot may play a role, and we specifically mentioned by kiddushin. Let's say if a person's mekadesh nisha, he doesn't have a complete statement, like he says to harem mekadeshet li, and then he says va'at and you, and it's two women. He gives two prutot to Rachel. And Leah's standing nearby. He says, okay, we spoke about that yesterday. And then we spoke about also whether you don't have an application by Peah. And then because by Peah, there was a Hekesh, but it didn't mention the word Peah explicitly. It was Drasha. So the question is, does that mean that the Hekesh fully applies, or maybe the Hekesh only partially applies? Okay, so let's take a look. We're on the top line on Zion Ibn Aleph 7a. Welcome, Michael. Okay, so it says, Yesh Yad L'Tzedakah, O Ein Yad L'Tzedakah. So by Tzedakah, do we say, again, there'll be a pasuk here as well, by Tzedakah, do we say there's a Yad or not? And then if you take a look, let's look at the round 5 lines from the bottom on Bava Mabez, near the asterisk with a paragraph. So the run. So Ran says, "Perish if you'll conclude that there is a yad for peah. Peah is the corn in the field that's given to the aniyim. So if you say that a yad works by peah, he says, kaven de chamira de baal korche chive rachmana beikar peah. So that's more chamor. In other words, we said that if it's more chamor, it's more stringent. That cuts towards the existence of a yad. If it's less chamor, not. So maybe pay is chamor because you're obligated with it. He says, "Litzdaka mai." What about "Britzdaka"? Kach pirshu rabotai. That's the way my Rebbeim explained the sugi. The Ran says, meaning the implication would be that pay you're obligated to do, but tzedakah you're not obligated. So if you say there is a yad by pay, would there be by tzedakah? But the Ran says 4 lines from the bottom on Bava Mabez. Below nearly, I don't like that pshat. Because by tzedakah, there's an obligation to give, the maaser. He says, "V'chi." So maybe you say tzedakah is different because if I give more than that, so I'm not chayav to give more than that. So pe'anami. So below sada kula. So pay also, there's a minimum amount and then the maximum amount. L'chach nira. So therefore, the Ran says, I don't think these two questions are built one on top of the other. In other words, he's trying to figure out the flow of the Gemara. We asked Peah, and now we're asking about Tzedakah. So one is not built on the other. He says, Voshaychi bim tim salomar. It's not a bim tim salomar. It's like parallel questions. So let's see back in the Gemara on Zion Ibn Aleph, and I'll pause in just a few lines. So it says, Yeshad Tzedakah o'in Yad Tzedakah. So the Gemara says on line 2, Heichi dami. What would be the case with Yad? So ilema the amar hadain zuzal tzedaka v'hadain nami. Let's say he has got two prutot, and he says this pruta is for tzedaka, and this one also. Ahut tzedaka atzmahi. That's not a yad. That's a clear declaration that pruta aleph is tzedaka and pruta beis is also tzedaka. He says elok yidon the amar hadain v'lo amar nami. He says hadain zuzal tzedaka v'hadain. He says this is for tzedakah and this one. That's the yad. So my hadein nami tzedakah kamar. So do we say most likely he meant the other one is also for tzedakah, meaning that we would call that a yad. A yad is mochiach. Again, a yad isn't necessarily 100%, but let me think of it that way. O dilma my vahadein. Maybe vahadein means lenafkuta ba'alma kamar. Vidibur hud loaske. He's saying that's for other expenses, but he didn't complete his sentence. So the Gemara says, and then I'll do a few lines, then we'll come back. Me and Rinan came into Ikash the Korbanot. Do I say since there's a hekesh between staka and korbanot? He says the chtiv v'ficha zut staka. So It says by it says Mosasvatecha, it says in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, Mosasvatecha Kishmor V'yasita. You should you should perform that which you say you will do. Like you took an oath, like you said with your mouth. So beficha is like an extraneous term. In other words, there's a lot of extra verbiage there. Zutztaka. So beficha is referring to tztaka. So in other words, you should keep your nadarim vis-a-vis korbanot, and you should keep your commitments vis-a-vis tztaka as well. So that would be a hekesh, if that's the case. But it's a hekesh similar to the other one, which is based on a drasha. It doesn't say tztaka mufurish in the pasuk, but Chazal darshan that out. Ma korbanot yishbam yad. So presumably, I could say, just like korbanot is a yad, korbanot would be a type of neder. You're going to bring a korban, there's a yad, and yad means a partial statement, which also says, avtsak yishbam yad, odilma, the baal ta'afir hu de itkash. Or perhaps the hekesh is only, there is a hekesh, but perhaps the hekesh is just to invoke the din of baal ta'afir, that there's a time limit on during which one must fulfill one's obligations, which we know is three regalim, and there's a machloket that I mentioned earlier, how to calculate the three regalim. Okay, 1 second, let me just do a little bit more, and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Now, this we did. Yeah. So again, we could do the bottom line of the Ran on Bava Beis. He says, O Dilma ki itkash l'baal ta'akhir hu de itkash, or perhaps it's just l'baal ta'akhir, lo and rinan ain hekesh l'mechza. We don't say there's no hekesh l'mechza, which is what Yosef asked about yesterday. Ditztaka nami lo ktiv behed yom drasha achi. Just like we said yesterday, we'll say the same thing as well. All right, so I think we're pretty good with this piece of Gemara. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on this piece of Gemara? Everybody good?
Yeah, well, there's a big difference between Sedoka. Okay. Hey, as a mitzvah, certainly not 10%.
Did you hear this from someone or not? Why did you say stuff is not a mitzvah? Well, Chazal
613.
Well, Chazal say aser kaser, isn't that a mitzvah?
It's a brush.
Yeah, but isn't that's not a mitzvah? It's good stuff. There's like what was the different psukim that say the person should help
drushes.
People and
it's a sign of a good name. Doll. I mean, it's a very good thing.
I'm not so sure about it. Who he says, look, and what
he
about
said the? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, no, I think
pay as a mitzvah their right.
Yeah, no, I well,
cleaning your pay as an issa their right.
So yeah,
not
I
not giving tzedakah is not issa.
I don't know. To my way of thinking, it is a mitzvah in the Torah. The 1 second, 1 second. All right, let's see. Yeah, I don't think this flows right if you say it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. I assume it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to give tzedaka. Right, like the Rambam says, right? He says on a Torah level, when Ani comes, you have to give him this, a certain shear. He says you have to give, and that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So in Achinami, the 10% might be drashah from Chazal, but there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to give tzedakah. I don't think there's any question about that. I think there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to give tzedakah. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, wait, what's up?
Can you just flippantly say, like, oh, I'm
going to... No. I mean, a person can make a neder that he's going to give a korban, so then he's obligated to give the korban. That's what it means. So then you're obligated. I mean, is there a korban that a person's obligated, he did aveirot, and by act of law, he's obligated. But a person can bring voluntarily korban out. So he makes a neder, then he's obligated to fulfill the neder. If he made a neder, to bring a korban. That would be the way we go. So with staka, so you're asking a good point. So I meant to raise this up. So there's a question that the Sheet Beket Betzer brings down. He quotes from the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi asks like this, by staka, so there's a man of Chazal that teaches that even if a person thinks he's going to give staka, he's obligated to do it. It's like a Kabbalah B'lev. If a person thinks, so he says, what's the whole Shacha B'tari in the Gemara about Yado? Even by tztaka, so it says not baruchho or something like that. There's some limud like that. So he wants to say that maybe, like, in order to make the commitment mentally, so it means like you absolutely made the commitment and you're not going to be mitzaret, regretted, or that's the way. But But if a person makes the statement, then he's obligated, even though, you know, maybe he's got, you know, some other things going on. That would be the question with that. But that's the story with Stucca. Okay, let's just do a few more lines, and I'll come back. We'll do some more rounds, okay? Now, the Gemara says, okay, we're around 10 lines down on Zayin Amud Aleph. Yesh yad lehefker, so the Gemara means, is there a yad for hefker? Hefker is when it declares something to be ownerless. And this whole question, you know, does it mean like I'm masalik my balus from it, or I put it in the rishus of hefker? I think we spoke about this in the past. Rav Konigsberg spoke about this to me once. Yesh yad lehefker, odilma ein yad lehefker. So, in other words, can I be mafkir something with a partial statement? So the Gemara says, "Hai nit stakas." The Gemara says that's the same question as by stakas. So how so? So look at the Tosfos. See the Tosfos, the left-hand column on the page, far left. He says, "Hefker hai nit stakas." Stam mafkir b'shul shizku ba'aniyim. Stam, a person's mafkir something so that aniyim will be able to, you know, acquire it. Umasik mipumakom hefker hai aniyim l'shim. The Gemara is going to conclude that hefker is different because it's for aniyim l'shirim. So the Gemara says, at first, it's the same question as staka. So in other words, we didn't really resolve the issue by staka, but l'chora, whatever way we resolved the staka issue with the ziyad there, the same should pertain by hefker, we think. So the Gemara says, and timsalomar ka'amar, and timsalomar yishyad with staka, dein hekesh l'metza. In other words, maybe there's no hekesh for metza. So when it says b'ficha, it's a full-blown hekesh, so I'm learning that tzedakah will be the same thing as nidre korban, and the mela not just for baal ta'acher, but even yadot apply to it, and so too also for tzedakah. But hefker mi amrina and hainu tzedakah. Do I say hefker is the same as tzedakah? O dilma shani tzedakah. Perhaps tzedakah is a little different. Tzedakah lo chazi alaniim. Tzedakah by definition is only for poor people. While hefker vein laniim vein lashirim. Hefker is for poor people or wealthy people. Now, let's take a look. One second. Okay. Let's read this. Good. Okay, let's see if we're back in the bar. Now, by Rabina. Now, Rabina posed a question. I'm going to get to the sugya, then we'll do a piece of the run. Okay, by Rabina. Now, this is talking about a sugya, which I think is really in Brachot. The Gemara learns that a person is not allowed to recite Kriyat Shema in a bathroom or Beis HaMerechatz. But there's a question of halacha. Let's say a person never used the bathroom, but he designated, this is the bathroom. In other words, he says, this room is the bathroom, or this room is the Beit HaMerechatz, but he's never used it. Does it have a din? That's hasmana, designation. So the Gemara says, by Rabbi Nageshiyad Beit HaTzisei Olo. So we didn't get to the question one. Question one will be, is hasmana something that affects the Beit HaTzisei, the Beit HaMerechatz? But assuming that hasmana is, what about if he doesn't make the full statement, he makes a partial statement? So hechi dami, ilema da'amar hadein beita levei beita kisei, v'hadein nami. If it means he says this room, this compartment, this will be the bathroom, and this one also, ahu beita kisei nami hava. So then that's a zelbazak. Then that's a complete statement. El kagon da'amar v'hadein v'lo amar nami. The case would be this, he says this one is going to be the beita kisei, v'hadein, and this one. My hadein da'amar, what does that mean? V'hadein nami beta kisei. Does it mean this one will also be a beta kisei? Oh, dilma mai v'hadein l'tashmi shabal makamor. Or maybe just saying this will be another room, like for some use. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara says from that question, Michal the pshita le Ravina. It seems like from the question that Ravina takes it as a given yesh zimun the beta kisei, that there's designation for the beta kisei. Because if you don't say that, then there's no question about the declaration. In other words, he's asking about a partial declaration that assumes that a complete declaration would be it. He says, Bahami Baile the Ravina, but Ravina himself asks his kasha, and he sees Aifkit Saifun to inside in Brachot Chabav, Izmino the Beta Kisei Mahu, Izmino the Beta Merakats Mahu. He means, he said, it does Hazmana legally affect it, and so now you can't say Kriyachma. Zeman Moil, O Ain Zeman Moil. So the Gemara says, Ravina chadam yigo chadam kamabayle. Meaning Ravina was asking one question built on the other, like an imtid salomar. Zeman mo'il and zeman mo'il. In other words, is hazmana miltahi? In other words, hazmana, significant legal, you know, procedure in halacha, so that would, you know, prevent me from reciting Shema there, just a designation. And then imtid salomar, yish zeman, And then, assuming arguendo that you conclude that there is such a thing as zimun, yishad o ein yad. So tibayle. So one is tibayle. This we spoke about that lashon nedarim is mashuna. Tibayle means teku. That means teku. Let's know. Okay, now one second. Let me look around here. Okay, let me do a little bit of the round with you, and then we'll talk some more. Okay. Yeah. So if you look in the Ran, the third narrow line, he says, "Chara mi go chara kamibayle lomar in tus lomar yish zimun yish yad oein yad." Now the Ran says, "You're looking, and this is what you asked me yesterday, Yosef, on line 5. Ulein halacha." So the Gemara didn't clearly conclude what the halacha would be. So we know by nedarim and by nezirus is definitely a din by yad, but we mentioned kiddushin and we mentioned peah. And we mentioned staka, and we mentioned hefker, and we mentioned here also by the hazmana. So he says here, "Ule'inin halacha b'kiddushin mikatinim l'chumra yeshad." So the halacha, the Ran says, by kiddushin we would say there's a yad, meaning that we would give legal force and effect to a yad. The kaven debayin lo ifshita, since it's the question which the Gemara does not resolve, habalei sveka doraita u'l'chumra. So that's a safek, a doubt on the Torah level, and we'd have to go l'chumra. So he really is saying it's a safek is the way he's saying, but will we be mafmir? That's the way he's coming out with that. Uvapeut staka katavarash bazal nami dazlin lechumra kimi desalku b'teku. And by the other two questions, or by peya and staka, the Rashba writes that we go lechumra since it's left with a teku. In other words, teku so we go to lechumra. But kimi katavaram bazal b'hilchotav the bayit staka lo ifshita behedya. He says that it wasn't resolved clearly in our sugya. The sugyan yeshad l'tzdaka, the kaimalan nami, the called teku d'isur l'chumra. And we hope whatever says teku, we go l'chumra. Umay da'amarzal, the sugyan yeshad l'tzdaka, in other words, he wants to say the Ramban, he's putting the Ramban. He's saying the Ramban is saying two things. That the flow of the sugya is that there is yad for tzdaka, and then the Gemara ends up with a teku, so we have to be machmir that way. And it doesn't say teku. It says, what did it say? Did it say teku by tzedakah? What did it say? It said, by tzedakah? It said, or it didn't resolve it, right? He said,
no teku.
Okay, once by tzedakah. One second. Yeah, okay. So the Gemara says, he says, "Umayda Amar Zal the Sugyan Yeshad Letzdaka Hainu Mishum the Karminan Im Tim Salomar Yeshad Letzdaka." In other words, the Gemara said, "If you assume that there's Yad Letzdaka, then the question is, what will be by Hefker?" Is that Efsher who Al Derech Rambam Zal Shposed Bechol Makom Kim Tim Salomar? So the Rambam, whenever it says Im Tim Salomar in the Gemara, the Rambam paskins like Im Tim Salomar. Of Al Mai the Kamar the Time of Lanami the Chol Teku the Isur Lechumra. So again, so the Ramban, he's quoting the Ramban. The Ramban says, wherever it says teku by Yisturi, go to Chumra, v'nira shehiskim gamkin l'zeh Rashba, and the Rashba also seems to sign off on this, Zal. So in other words, he wants to say like this, that he assumes that the stock is a teku question. Where did it say teku in the Gemara? We had, where is Tibai? We had at the end, right? Sure. Yeah, Tibai lay at the end about the Zimun, but he takes it that it's all a teku here. So he's assuming that it was a teku. It's an Easter, so we're going to go Lechumra. And the Rashba also seems to say that way. But to Mahani Alihan, Suran says, I have questions against them. The Gemara in Mesechet Chulin, Kishisafik Mamon Aniyim, Harehu Safik Mamon, Dazlina Be Lekula, Lenitba. So the Gemara over there is talking about, he says, I mean, the Shinra Tamuanit, the Gershnekai of our Lopar and the Shetet, the Chule. So the Gemara talks about a person who had a cow before he converted, and the cow was shechted, and then he converts to Judaism. And the question is he chayiv in matnot kahuna, on the zroah l'chayayim v'keva, he has to give to a kohen. So the Gemara says that it's a type of matana. He's making like the sushta between the matnot kahuna and the matnot aniyim. So the Gemara doesn't clarify that as isurim, the Gemara clarifies it as a safek mamon. So a safek mamon, we're going to leave it in the possession of the one who holds it. In other words, we don't know if the Shevet Kuhn is compiled to it, so we're going to leave it there. He says here, now, Tanan, Safik Mamon Patur, Amas Feka Lekulu, Raminu. Oh, so anyways, so, okay, so let's go slowly with this. So again, So the Ran says, the halacha by kiddushin with the yad, we're going to go look for him. That's what he's. That's the first thing he says. That's the sveika deraisa. Then by tztaka, he says, the Rashba says, we're going to go look for him. And he says, and the Ramban also says that way. And among other reasons, they say, because it's like a teku di sur lachumra. In other words, the Gemara hasn't resolved it, so we're going to go lachumra by tztaka. Then the Ran says that I don't agree with that because I don't think they assume that it's a safik isur. But I don't think it's a safik isur. I think it's mamon mutab safik. I think it's just safik mamono. So a safik mamono means if I possess something, it maybe belongs to you. So then you prove it that it's yours. Otherwise, I'm keeping it. So he doesn't agree with that. Now, let me cut to the chase with this. Look at now around in the very wide lines. 1, 2, 3. The sixth very wide line on Zion Amid Aleph in the Ran. El Avadai Sveik the Mamon Aniyam Lo Mikri Sveik the Yisrael Sveik the Mamon Lekula. So he in the Ran says, I don't agree. I think it should be Lekula and you're not obligated the money. Lefichach, Eini Mitchaber B'Dibrei Mizalbazah. I'm not too clear on what the Run these the he quoted the Ramban. Who did he quote? The Rashba, and he quoted the Rashba, and then he quoted and the Ramban. Right, the Rashba and the Ramban. He says now, but Gabi Hefker in Safik Dabalay Spake the Mamon Lakul Bain Yad. He says by Hefker there it's definitely a Safik Mamon, and we won't say this Yad. But Chay Nami Gabi Berakise. Even by the Beit Akisa, he wants to say that even if you'll say the Zimun is effective, that would be a Din Rabbanan, and so with the Yad, we'll go to Sveika. So the way the Ran is coming out, this isn't so simple, but the way the Ran is coming out, so by Kedushin, we're going to go to the Chumra. By Tztaka, the Rashba, and the Ramban go to the Chumra. The Ran thinks we can go to the Kula. And then by Hefter, the Ran thinks we can also go to the Kula. And then by Zeman also going Lakula. All right, now let me just do a little bit, then we'll pause and we'll take some questions. Now, he has over here, so he quotes here about the Ramban and Rashba rule, and since the Gemara does not resolve this question, it's about a halakha, you do stringently, Safik Yisur Lakumra. And the Ran disagrees and maintains that this question falls under the category of Safik Mamona, monetary doubt. Since the question is whether the vower may retain his money or must give it to the poor people. Then he quotes the Gemara in Chulin and Kuflam Adalid, Safik Mamon Aniyim Lakula. One may conduct so leniently when in doubt regarding an obligation of Matnot Aniyim. Now, and he says, such as Leket, he says, like dropping wheat stalks. It is clear from this Gemara that in case of a lack of doubt regarding monetary issues, one may conduct so leniently and retain the money until the doubt is resolved. Now, in defense of the Ramban and the Rashba, so we're talking about with the tztaka, do we view the tztaka as safik yisura or safik mamon? So the Ramban and Rashba say it's a safik yisura, and the Ran thinks it's safik mamon. So in defense of the Ramban and Rashba, the Emek Yoshua and Machan Ephraim distinguish between safik leket, a doubt regarding leket obligation, and a doubt regarding one's tztaka pledge. A doubt regarding one's tztaka pledge is deemed a safik yisura, because failure to fill one's pledge violation of the netter, which is a violation of Torah loyachel dvaro. Therefore, one must conduct them stringently in case of doubt and keep the tztaka so as not to risk violation of his neder. The Gemara in Chulin permits one to conduct himself leniently regarding safek leket. There's no neder involved in those cases. So, in other words, this Emek Yoshua Machane Ephraim, they want to defend the Ramban and the Rashba. The Ramban and the Rashba say it's a safek yisura. And yet, the Gemara in Chulin seems to say, like the safek with matanos, whether it's the Kohen or the Aniyim, that's a safek bamo. So he wants to say that there's a difference when a person makes a neder to give tztaka, so then that's a safek isura. Whereas his other matnot aniyim are by act of law. In other words, you're supposed to give it. So that's not. That would be the way the Ramban and the Rashba would distinguish that case. So he says over here, though, the Ran does not recognize this distinction because he's of the opinion that a charity pledge is not a vow to physically transfer the charity funds to the possession of the poor, rather it's a vow to designate a certain amount as charity. But the moment the funds are designated, they belong to the poor people. So the vow is fulfilled the moment the pledge is verbalized. For the money pledged for its stock assumes the status of charity funds at the time of the pledge. So he takes it like this, that like once you make the statement, then the stock already belongs like the Aniyim. This is the way the Ran will explain it. This is what he wants to say. So then the only question is, you know, do I have to give it to them at this point? Of course, one is obligated to take the designated funds and give them to the poor people. However, this obligation is not because of his vow, but because the money belongs to the poor people. Therefore, if there's a doubt regarding such a pledge, it's similar to a doubt regarding leket, and one may conduct himself leniently. In other words, he wants to say that whether the person made the neder, once he makes the neder, so the stuff is already like in the rishus of the aniyim. And the same thing with leket and the other matnos aniyim, it's already there. So then the two cases are analogous. That's the way the Ron wants to go with this. Okay, we said questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far. Everybody good? You're good? What's up, Josh? Teku means we're going to leave the question in abeyance. We're not able to resolve it. So here in our Gemara, we didn't mention Teku. The only thing we had at the end was Tiboile. And then, let's see, we had somebody says this. One second. Yeah. So if you look in the Tosfos, in my Gemara, it's very low near. We're right before the wide lines in Tosfos in the left-hand column. See the Tosfos, Josh? All the way down, where right before it becomes wide, you see it says Tibayla. So it says Perish Kamo Teku, Lashon Nedarim Mishuna. That's like Teku, and the Lashon Nedarim is Mishuna. It's like unusual, all right?
And then
Sapek Yisura means Sapek, where something is like, you know, like a prohibition. In other words, that's Easter. Sapek Mamor is a. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Everybody good? Okay. Let's keep moving. All right. Now, we're three lines from the bottom. Menuda Nilcha Vachulei. So if you remember, in the mission we did on Daf Beis, so let's go over the mission again on Beis Amud Aleph, just briefly. So, so it says on Daf Beis, on the bottom line of the mission on Beis Amud Aleph, Menuda Nilcha, I'm Menuda to you. He was like rubbing, scratching to be machmir. So, menuda ani lecha, we'll see in the Gemara, menuda ani lecha can mean I'm separated from you, like I'm mufrash from you. It's connected to the word nida, or menuda ani lecha, I'm like excommunicated to you. So if it means separated, that's a lashon of a neder. It's like meruch chani mincha. Where did you have like meruch chani mincha? Mufrashani mincha. So if I say that, menuda lecha would be the same thing. And with, these are all yadot. He's not saying the whole thing like I'm going to be like you know, like you're probably like a korban to me. But menuda lecha. So Rabbi Kiva, kochech bazel lahachmir. We'll see in a minute in the Ran. It's either that he was rubbing himself. I saw the way Rav Kati learned was like rubbing his lips against one another. Or the way the Arsal thought was rubbing like his finger against his brow. Or else, kochech can mean like chokhei can mean the person's palate, like the chiki, like the palate, like he felt in the, like with his palate that it should be asur, and presumably the chachamim disagree with him. That's the implication of the Mishnah. Okay, let's go back now to Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, back to Zayin 7a, three lines to the bottom. Menudani l'chavchulei. So everyone with me? So Amar Abaye, Motor Rabbi Kiva. You know, it's easy. These are short to dap him, so it's easy to go slower and take the lines down. And I guess ideally, it's nicer going, so it's easier for me also. Okay, so what? Yeah, but I have like a gun to my head with the hour. So it says Amar Abaye, Motor Rabbi Kiva, and in Malko Chain Loke. So Abaye says that Rabbi Kiva will agree that if he would violate the terms of this, and this is Mudin Lecha, in other words. Like I'm prohibited in like getting any hana from your property. So Rabbi would agree that if he does get hana, he does not get malkot. He says she'ein loke. He says the im came because if he would get malkot, nitni the Tana should write Rabbi Akiva machmir, not Rabbi Akiva. We have in our Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva is what chokheich machmir. What does he say? He said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, chokhech was the lahatmir. He would say Rabbi Akiva is mahmir. He says, okay, so he's back in the Gemara. So Amara Papa, benadina minach, tekli amalo plihi da'asur. If he says nadina mimcha, it means I'm like separated from you. Everybody agrees, but it's like lashon, you know, everybody agrees that he's prohibited. Misham tana minach, I'm excommunicated from you. The Kuliyam Ashari, everybody agrees he's permissible because that's on Lashon of a Neder. Like in Bezin puts you in excommunication. He says, but my plea, what's the point of dispute between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim? Turn the page, top line on Zayin Rebeis. But Menuda Ani Lecha, if he has the term Menuda Ani Lecha, he says, the Rabbi Kiva Savar Lishna and Dini Du Yehu. Rabbi Kiva holds it's a Lashon of separation He says, Rabbanan Sabri Lishna de Misham Tanahu. Come and hold, no. In other words, Menunah Menachai is somewhat ambiguous term. It could be separation, it could be neither. Which way is it more? So come and cut, it's Mishamta. So the Gemara says, Upliga de Rav Chista. But this explanation that we just quoted from Rav Papa, right? Rav Papa we quoted? Yeah. So this explanation from Rav Papa is Mechulakan Rav Chista. The Hu Gavra, the Amar, Mishamtana, Benichse, Debray, the Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. There was a certain person, he made the statement, Mishamtana, I'm going to be like in a state of excommunication from the property of the son of Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. Atla Kami de Rav Chista, he came before Rav Chista. Amar Le, Rav Chista said to him, Late the Chashla Laha, the Rabbi Akiva Ksavar, the Mishamtana Pligi. Late the Chashla Laha, the Rabbi Akiva. That nobody is concerned for the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So in the previous Ukimta, according to Rav Papa, we said, Mishamtana Minach, Lukuli Amishari. If you say Mishamtana, everybody agrees you're permissible. Here, Rav Chista says to him, you're okay because nobody's concerned with Rabbi Akiva's opinion, sounding that itself is a machloket. So he says, late the chashal lahad Rabbi Akiva, so kasavar b'mishamtana plegi. He holds that the machloket is b'mishamtana. Okay, now, let me see what else I have here. One second. Yeah, so I asked Rabbi Sarfati today. He said, we don't know what they would be in the other. It sounds like the Korah could be with the other thing as well. Now, let's take a look a little bit. One second. All right, I think we're pretty much good with this. Now, okay, I think we're pretty good with this. Okay, all right, I'm going to move on. Okay? All right, let's see further in the Gemara. So, on line 6. So, Amar Rabbi Ilo, Amar Rav, this is a slightly different topic. This is on a tangent now. Nidau b'fanav, eman tirin lo'el b'fanav. If a person was excommunicated, in other words, a writ of excommunication was issued by the Beis Din, but in the presence of the person who was being excommunicated. Let's say the Beis Din excommunicates Reuven, but they do it in Reuven's presence. Eman tirin lo'el b'fanav. Then we're only going to lift the excommunication in the presence of Reuven. Nidau shlo b'fanav, if they excommunicate Reuven not in his presence, matirin lo'el b'fanav b'ein shlo b'fanav. Then we can do it whether it's in his presence or not his presence. Let's take a look in the Ran on this, the top line in the Ran. The cave under Fanav Nidahu. Now, the first he's going to give a pshat and he's going to reject it. He says, since they issued the excommunication in his presence, Alim Niduye. It's a very strong Nidui. Vloma Akir El Bafanav. So it can only be lifted in his presence. Give me the Bai Derminim Perakha Shaleach. Like the Gemara learns in the second Gittin. Anything which is done with a minion, needs a minion to undo it. So here we're doing it in his presence, so it's stronger. So to undo it, we need his presence. Below in here, so the Ran says, I don't like that pshat. The Gemara is saying is chashada, what the person, the excommunicated person, is going to think. Dimatirin lo shlo b'fanav. If we're going to lift the excommunication not in his presence, sometimes the Beis Din will lift the writ of excommunication. And the Menuda, in other words, Reuven was excommunicated. Nobody's talking to him. Nobody's kind of admitting. And then they lift it and he doesn't know about it. And then all of a sudden you see people talking to him, the county of Reuven and stuff like that. Something, I guess, you know, nobody cares about these things. This is about Shinidau Shlobafanov. But if they put him in Nidui, not in his presence, like a chashada, there's no chashada, shaf husover, shamaytiru shlobafanav, shim shinidu shlobafanav. And whereas there he thinks, look, they put me in Nidui, not in my presence, and maybe they lifted it, not in my presence. He says, v'zek hotash amrulatavan, the perik reblazer, amudar haname chabero, bafanav, ematirin lo el bafanav. If a person was mudar hanav from his friend, In the presence of the friend, it sounds like. It sounds like, in other words, he took the nether in the presence of the friend, so you're only going to be matir in the presence of the friend. So the Rambam says, if that's the reason, so if we tell him that it was lifted, then there's no problem. The whole shetiru nami afpishlo with you mutar dievet. And then he wants to say, let's say they did lift it and it wasn't in his presence, and they had imposed it in his presence, but dievet in akinami it would be lifted. All right. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? What's up? Again. Let's go. So nidui is a person's like violating some din or something like that. We put him in nidui. So, but we could put him in nidui in the presence of the Beis Din, or not in the presence of the Beis Din. So, right. So the Ran says. So the Gemara learns that if it was put in his presence, it has to be lifted in his presence, not in his presence. So what's the reason for this? So the Ran learned one reason that he rejected. He thought the reason that he rejected was stronger if it's in his presence. So we need his presence to lift it. But the Ran doesn't like that shot. So the second shot the Ran says is, right, we're afraid that people will come to sort of denigrate the halacha. So if, let's say, we put him in nidui in his presence, and then he sees nobody's talking to him, nobody's counting him or anything like that, then one day the Beis Din lifts it, but he doesn't know about it, and everybody's talking to him. He says, I guess, you know, nobody cares about these things. So he says, so therefore, but if we put him in nidui not in his presence, he'll think, listen, I didn't even know when they put me in nidui, I didn't know about it, so maybe they lifted it out without my presence. Okay, that's the idea. Okay? Okay, everybody good? Okay. All right, let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, so we're up to Amarav Chanin, right? Okay, so Amarav Chanin, Amarav, Hashemiah has kord Hashem mipi chaveiro. If a person hears somebody say the Shem Hashem levatala, tzarich lenat oto, he has to be placed in nidui. V'yim lo niduhu, if they didn't, hu atzmo yehei b'nidui. So the person who heard it is really to be placed in nidui. Shekol makom shes kord Hashem mitzuya, wherever we see that the Shem Hashem is mentioned, mi levatala, shamaniyat mitzuya, their poverty is to be found. And poverty is like death. Shinemar kimetu kol anashim. It says that all the people who seek you, that's like datan and aviram, that in the Ronald proof, we'll see in a minute, that Hashem says, you know, go back to Egypt. Kimetu kol anashim vakshim nafshecha. All the people that were trying to kill you are dead. So Chazal teach us that here's something about datan and aviram. Datan and aviram were still well alive, but they had became poor, so they're like dead. Betania, and we see an equivalence between death and poverty, because wherever the chamim, like, they give their look, it's either death or oni. All right, now let's take a look. Let's take a look in the Ram. One second. Yeah. Okay. So we'll begin with Hashemiah Haskarat Hashem around the fifth hour line. It says Hashemiah Haskarat Hashem in Pichaveiro Tzirichlan Adoto. If a person hears somebody say the Shem Hashem, let me the batala. So the Gemara in Tamura learns it from the Ed Hashem Lekecha Tira. You have to fear Hashem, and that includes that you're admonished not to say Shem Hashem batala. It says, it doesn't mean, you know, as a matter of course he's in nidui. He says, Ela ra'ui le nadot kamar. It's appropriate that he should be placed in nidui. Shriyamaz kir atzmo tzarech nidui. The one who says the Shem Hashem should be nidui. V'yachin hei chamor mimenu ha'shomei v'shotei kele kadamar. In other words, if the one who says the Shem Hashem isn't like automatically by act of law placed in nidui, the act of a Beis Din to put him into nidui, so certainly the person who heard him, you know, is not automatically by act of law, but it's ra'ui. He says, Shebechol makom, in other words, the Gemara is explaining that if the person who said the Shem Hashem is not placed in Nidui, then the listener is like appropriate that he should be in Nidui. Shrei Achshav, or he says Shrei Onsho Chamur. He says like his punishment is Chamur. The Shem Aniyut Mitzuya Kedichtiv, or the Shem Aniyut Mitzuya Dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Wherever my name is mentioned, I'm going to come and give you a bracha." When we does kard Hashem lemitzvah via bracha, since we see that Hashem's name when it's mentioned in the appropriate way, that invokes wealth and blessing, or blessing and wealth. Haskar l'shab gorem ananiyot. So conversely, if you mention Shem Hashem lebatala, that causes poverty. That's one hesbah the Ran has. Inami, Yathib Gabi Shua Checker, or else there's a different shot. It says by Shua Checker, like a false oath, the Kalatobi Rabanav. like he'll be, you know, terminated, and his wood and his stones. So we're saying, Shekhar, you're going to be, if you take false oath, you'll be impoverished. So certainly Shem Hashem is also compared to Shvut Shekhar. Okay, now let's do the next round. This is four lines above where it gets wide. Shenemar ki meitu kol Hashem v'gomer, delo meitu mamash ki dermin lakam perik Reb Lezer, de mehava havu, that they were live and kicking. Datan v'aviram. The chumakom, remember it says, He says, so they said, so are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And then Moshe, so it comes that Chazal teaches that's Datan Aviram. It was Datan Aviram, the ones who were slandering Moshe in Egypt. So Moshe Rabbeinu flees. So then Moshe's in Midian, and he's married to Yitro's daughter. And then Hashem says, "Lech shuv Mitzrayim, go back to Egypt. All the people that wanted to kill you are dead." So Chazal teaches they weren't dead, it's just they became poor. So we'll see, the Ran is trying to figure out how they really became poor. So he says, whenever you see in the Torah, it says the word, the code word is Nitzim or Nitzavim, that's reference to Datan Aviram. So it says he saw Shnei Anashim Yavrim Nitzim. The Moshe Rabbeinu saw two of his brothers fighting. Nitzim is fighting. That's Datan Aviram. And then it says Nitzavim also, it says it by Korach. So he says, V'inu havu b'machloket shel Korach. They were involved in the machloket Korach. So they're definitely alive and well. They're not dead. Ela v'neishahenu amar kimetu. Because they became impoverished, it says kimetu. This is the first wide line in the Ran on Zion Beis. Even though the Gemara says that poor people are considered like they're dead, is other than the dead person himself, he says, "Ani v'suma umitzora." I'm sorry, "Ani v'suma umitzora umishayin lobanim." If a person's poor, a blind person, a mitzora, he has saras umishayin lobanim. If somebody doesn't have children, he's chashuv kameit. Let me just make sure nobody's here. Okay, so he says here. So how do I know that they're impoverished? So he says, here it's definitely Aeneas. You can't say that they became blinded. So the way he seems to understand the Pasuk is they say, like, if we were blind, we're not going out. In other words, no matter what, so they're definitely sighted right now. You can't say they were Mitzorayim. It says, this is not in Korach, but it looks like in Parshas Akev. It says, Bekerav Kol Yisrael, that they were in the midst of Israel. So a Mitzora can't be Bekerav Kol Yisrael. You can't say that maybe they were Mitzorayim, and then they had Refuat Matan Torah. He says, the Haimrinan Shechazr Lumuman B'Masa Egel. Because Chazal teaches us that the people who were Mitzrayim, they came back after the Maaseh Egel. So we'll see. The Mishum Shul Yalahem Banim Amar Kimeitu. And don't say because they didn't have any children. Dim Kain, Hechi Amar Leim Neizeh Shuv Mitzrayim. In other words, let's say the Pshat is they didn't have children. So he says Kimeitu, they're dead. Nothing to worry about. Go back to Egypt. Vehim Neishol Yalahem Banim. So how does that help me? In other words, if a Kaddish Baruch was in Moshe, nothing to worry about, they're dead, they don't have sons. So they're alive. They'll still be Malshim Paro. So Badai, by process of elimination, it must be they became impoverished. It's like, Tevye the Milchiger. When you're rich, they really think you really know. Like everybody listens to you when you're wealthy, and you're poor, they don't listen to what you have to say. So they became poor. So Mela, nothing to worry about. That's what they're saying with this. Now, there's a whole piece from the Chasam Sofer on this. It's whole Karipas. Let me finish up the Gemara. I think we have time, but let me get to where I need to go, and we'll see. Okay, so now, then back in the round on the fifth line, O Mito Oni Al Meshavu LaHadade. that they're equivalent to each other, the meat and the oni. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. He says, so Amar Rabbi Abba, the last number line in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, Hava ke'im nekami de Rav Huna. I was standing before Rav Huna. Shama lahach itzta da afka is called Hashem lebatala. He heard a certain woman say Shem Hashem lebatala, and then Shamta v'shari lala altar ba'apa. And then he put her in Nidui, and then he immediately lifted the Nidui in her presence. So Shmamina Tlat. So the Gemara says one can learn three things from this halakha. Shmamina Shemaya has kurd Hashem b'pichar v'sarich ananato. You see that if a person hears Shem Hashem, you have to put him in Nidui. Again, if you're a Chacham, you can even put him by yourself. A Chacham can do by himself. So you have to put him in Nidui. And also you could do is that if he was placing Nidui in his presence, you only lift it without his presence. Not so clear. It's clear that he lifted it in her presence. It's not so muchrach why it must be that way, why, you know, from here. And then also you could deduce that there's no time period. You have to wait between the Nidui and the revocation of the Nidui. The Nidui and then 2 seconds later the revocation. There's no you know, time period that's required. All right, now, four lines to the bottom. Why did he put the knee to it? Yeah. I think he wanted to make a point, you know, that this was something serious that she had done, but he didn't want to impose, like, something, you know, too much on her. That's what I think was going on. So, all right, just one second. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Abdila Marav, Tamil Chacham, Minada La'atzmo, Mefer La'atzmo. So Rabbi Gil says in Rav that a Talmid Chacham can place himself in the Nidui and then revoke the Nidui. So now we'll talk about why he would do this. We'll see in a minute. So, So he says here, so the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously if he's putting himself in Nidui, he can lift the Nidui. So Ma'u Gitema, I might have thought, in Chavash Matir Atzmoi Beit HaSurim, Kamash Malon. That's a nice phrase to remember. Means a prisoner can't let himself out of the prison. In other words, a person who's a prisoner can't let himself out of the prison. So I might think once a person is Nidui, he can't lift himself in Nidui. So the Gemara says, Heichin Dami, what would be the case where a person would put himself in Nidui? Ki had the Mar Zutra Chasida, like Mar Zutra Chasida, the pious one, ki mechayev bar be Rav Shamta, when a Taman Chacham would be chayev Nidui, mishamek nafshe bereisha. He, Mar Zutra, would put himself in Nidui first. He says, "V'hadar m'shamei bar be'rav," and then he would put the Talmid Chacham in Nidui. V'chi ay lebeite sharlin afshei v'hadar sharlin. Then when he would go home, he would lift the Nidui from himself, and then he would lift it from the Talmid Chacham. All right, just one minute. We'll get to everything. One second. All right, let's look at the Tosfos. Then we'll do the Rush, and then we'll go. Now look in the Tosfos. 5 lines to the bottom in the Tosfos. M'shamei nafshei v'hadar m'shamei bar be'rav. Okay. Josh, do you have it? Okay. So Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, Shzayose, Gidei Shlo Yishkachla Tira Nidui Shlo Bar Be'Rav. He did that so he won't forget to lift the Nidui from the Talmid Chacham. He says, Abal Chav, Shemeshami Nafshei, now that he's putting himself in Nidui, he says, Mitokach, Sheyazachur Latir Shlo, so he's going to remember it to lift his own Nidui. He says, Zachur Yenami Latir Shlo Bar Be'Rav. The Rim of Pirish, to the Kapara Yosekach, that he would put him, so well, let's go slowly. So in other words, the first shot is he's putting himself in Nidui to be like a reminder, like he doesn't have a buzzer on the watch or whatever, things like that. I want to remember to lift the Nidui from this Talmid Chacham. So how am I going to remember? Like, you know, I do it and then done and forgot about it. But if I put myself in Nidui, I'll remember I'm in Nidui, and then my members of my family come out to greet me, I'm in Nidui, and then I'll remember to lift it, then I'll lift it for the Barbie Rod. Now, it says the re-pirates, the re-explains, the kapara yosekach, he did it for atonement for himself, a different reason. He put himself in his atonement. Shelo yenesh b'masha menad and surmi drabanan, that he should not be punished because he put a tam and chacham in Nidui. Ki bekoshi yesh lenad oto, only reluctantly we put tamid chachamim in Nidui. Ki derminan mimnu anegida lo mimnu ashamta, that they voted to put to give malko, they didn't vote to give Nidui. Ba'afapi. Or they would vote to put, like, you know, to give Malko to presumably to Talmid Chacham, but not to put him in Nidui. Even though this Talmid Chacham was a deserving candidate, so he would do it for Kapara for himself. Now, and then let's do a little bit further in the Tosfos. He says, "Mishami nafshei emarchik atzmo dal rama mechave rav." He would keep dal rama from his friends. Ki ayelavete shari lenafshei again in Tosfos mishum bnei beite, because the members of his household. Bahadur shari lebarbi rav ishi yaboz akayv yachaper lakayv. So the innocent one himself will come and be mechaper for the chayv. L'kachamati alatzmo kodem. All right, now one second. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, wait, one second. First Yosef's asking, then I'll come to you. What? So here, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say it was in his presence. It doesn't say that. It just said he put the Talmud Chacham in the Idui. That's clear. Okay, Fern, were you patient? What's that, Fern?
In the Hahu Itata story, was there anything that was done specifically because she was a woman? Did we learn anything from the tzlat? Anything that she was a woman?
No, the woman I don't think was relevant one way or another way. It was just that she had done something wrong. Okay, now let me do this little piece from the Chasam Sofer, and then we'll do a little bit of a story or two, and then I think that'll be it. This Chasam Sofer was a real Charifus. I'll go over briefly, and then we'll take it down. So if you remember, we had the Ron earlier where we were determining that the person who died, those were Datan and Aviram. So we said there were four possibilities, you know, to be considered to be a mace. And one of the possibilities, if you're a Mitzora, you're to be a mace. So the Ron says it can't be that they were Mitzorayim, because it says that the care of Kol Yisrael, it says that they were the Bekerav, they were in the midst of the Jewish people later on in the Massive Korah. But maybe you'll say, yeah, but they could have been in Sorayan in Egypt and then gotten Refuah at Matan Torah. But then the Ran quotes a Medrash that says that the people who were with Sorayan got the Tzaras back after the Egel. All right, so here's the difficulty. And this question is asked by the Nitziv in the Nitziv wrote a Perish on the Shiltot. So the Perish on the Shiltot is Hamik Sha'ala. But then he has also another commentary called Shailat Shalom. He asks that the Ran left out a Mishnah in Masechet Negayim. It says, "Elu baharot tohorod shiubo kodel matan Torah." That the tumah, in other words, if you were mitzora before matan Torah, so then you're not tameh after matan Torah with that saras. In other words, the Mishnah says if you got tzaras before Matan Torah, then the tzaras you have this after Matan Torah is not tzaras. So lechora, the simple pshat means that you were, let's say, mitzora before Matan Torah, then the tzaras was cleared out, and then you get it again because after the eil you get it again. Lechora, you're not tamei from that lechora. So if that's the pshat, so then how does that prove? So the fact that they were Bekerav Kol Yisrael proves nothing. In other words, right. So in other words, they could have been Mitzorayim. That's the question. In other words, Datan Aviram could have been Mitzorayim. Right. So with that Mishnah, it blows a hole through the Raya of the Ran that they could have been Mitzorayim. So the Chasam Sofer, he's got like fancy footwork. He wants to say that when it says that when it refers to Matan Torah, doesn't mean Matan Torah the way we refer to Matan Torah. He says Matan Torah means that when Moshe Rabbeinu explained the dinim of Saras to Klal Yisrael, and based on Chazal, he says it explained it to them on when the Mishkan was erected. The Mishkan was erected in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, like a year after they left Egypt. So that's what it means, that if you were Tamei before that time, so then it doesn't count as Tumah. But you become Tamei after. He became Tamei after that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, after HaKamas HaMishkan, then you are Tamei. Then he says that the people who the Tumah was removed, Saras was removed, they got the Tumah back not after the Maaseh Egel, and they got it back rather after the Metonanim. There's two Lashonos in the Medrash. He says that the Metonanim was after they left Ma'amad Har Sinai, and it was like a year later. They erect the Mishkan, and then they travel away from there. So it comes out, sof kol sof, it comes out that indeed Datan and Aviram, if they had been in Sorayan, they would, and they got the Saras back, they would have been Tanaim, that's what it would come out. Okay, now, let me just...
going to say to diagnose it?
Yeah, well, you're saying like, so you say, what's the status of a person who had Saraz in Egypt? Like right. They're Saraz. So that I don't know. But the Gemara says Saraz is Kashuv Kameis. So Inakinami, they're there, but the Mitzorah is Kashuv Kameis. Okay, now the Gemara says here, so you could say, why is he Kashuv Kameis? In other words, you're getting at it if he's not, sentenced to like the Galus, or why is he Kashuv Kameis? But still, I guess Saraz is a horrible thing to add. Okay, now let me tell the story, and then that'll be it for today. You know, I always think I have so much time, but it really doesn't add up to so much time. Okay, now. Today's daf tells the Marzitra Chasida, when he was required to put one of the students in the basement in Nidui, he would first place himself in Nidui. And the Ram comes and says, Nidus Chasidus. Now, the Klausenberger Rebbe Zitzal would cite this as the source for the words of the Baal Shem Tov. This is a different Hezger, why he would put himself in Nidui. Okay, so he gave two explanations. Either he wanted that like a reminder that he should lift it, or for Kapara. But the Klausenberger Rebbe said something different based on the Baal Shem Tov. He says, Baal Shem Tov has a sheet. He says that if somebody sees somebody else doing an Aveira, if I see somebody doing an Aveira, I see somebody being Mechal Shabbos, I see somebody talking in Shul, that's a Siman that I have some aspect of that Aveira in myself. Otherwise, Hashem would not have permitted me to see that. So he wants to say that he, this is like a very Hasidic shot, that he, having seen this Talmid Chacham Meruah in Nidui, that means he's Meruah in Nidui in some way. So that's why he put himself in Nidui, because now I'm seeing something that looks like Nidui. So Rav Aaron Abel was very particular not to see anything negative in another Jew. It was very Hasidic. Once when he was still Rav Abel, a Hasid came before him and claimed in a self-righteous manner that a certain barber had violated Shabbos. He was certain of this because he had seen with his own eyes the barber closing his shop well after a nightfall on Friday night. The Rav called the barber to him and questioned him thoroughly. In his questions, he tried to convince the barber that it really had been an accident. Surely you didn't notice it was already dark. The barber admitted this, agreed that it was an oversight, and said he was sorry. The Rav then said to the barber, since you accidentally left your shop open on Shabbos, you must give a ruttle of candles to the base matters to atone for your sin. You'll explain what a ruttle is. He then turned to the chassid, as for you, in order to atone for having seen this man performing Shabbos, you must give two ruttles of candles. The Rav continued, his voice charged with emotion, and as for me, I must give five ruttle to atone for the fact that in my city a man violated Shabbos in such a blatant manner. Okay, that's... That's correct. No. Wait, or the Gemara says that if you hear Shem Hashem and you do it, then you're deserving of Nidui. So, but here he puts the Talmid Chacham in Nidui and he put himself in Nidui. So he's doing both. The Gemara didn't say you have to do both. Okay. All right. Now let me. I gotta wrap this up.